Mark chapter 16 and one verse of scripture, verse 3, it says, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" Who's going to roll it away? Who's going to help us with that? I want to preach to you on the simple topic of the stone has been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We are in your presence. We feel you. We know you're here. I pray, help us right now. I pray, speak to your people. I'm asking you, God, to let us walk out emboldened. Let us walk out ignited. Let us walk out encouraged, knowing that you've already made a way where there seemed to be no way. We thank you, Lord, for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We find this text revealing something that I've experienced in my life, a pondering question at times. My wife and I, we back before kind of the craziness broke out in Florida, we decided to take our kids to Disney World, and we had saved up, put some money aside, and we were living in Northwest Arkansas, and we were going to fly out. We found some inexpensive flights with an airline where it poses as inexpensive, but if you breathe, it's like 10 cents every time you inhale and exhale. You might know what I'm talking about already. Oh, you have a bag? That'll be $400. Okay. I was confused. The price tags sometimes are important. But we loaded everybody up. We got out of school. We rushed out, and I was like, I got out of work, and we were hurrying over, And I was so excited. My kids were excited. We were going to have that evening to get to the parks and see things. And we packed up in our car at the time. We had sold the van and we had bought this car to try to, you know, whatever, just try to get things set up a little easier. And we jump in the car. We're going to drive to the Branson Springfield Airport. And I remember jumping in, and a friend of mine, we had just had a conversation. He said, "I flew from the Branson Airport once, and it was actually very convenient." So when I began to look at this, and I saw that it was the Branson Springfield Airport, I told Google, "I need directions to the Branson Springfield Airport," and it took me to Branson, Missouri. Now, for some of you that don't know, Springfield, Missouri is about 30 minutes, maybe 35 minutes north of Branson. But when you're cutting it close, you've got to really, really time it right. I remember when we drove into Branson, we were so excited. We grabbed our bags out of the back. I'd gotten out of work a little bit late, so we were rushing in, and we noticed there's not really many people flying out of here today. And I remember the moment that I questioned things is when I kind of saw a tumbleweed go across the parking lot, and there was kind of that Western little whistle in the background. And I thought, man, where's everybody at? But I was like, well, let's go. We got a flight book, so surely there's somebody here. We rushed in and we walked through the doors, and the doors actually opened up. And I look around and there's no one at the gates. And we thought, what are we doing? And I remember looking at my wife, and she's looking at me now, and I'm thinking, what in the world have we done? And we have our bags, and if the cameras are on, still, someone has some great video of a family that looks totally perplexed and also desperate for someone to show up and say, "We have one flight today, and y'all were the family." I thought, where is the pilot at? Where's the gate agent? And I don't hear any planes. It was quiet. Little did I know that in the horrible rush of all the chaos of trying to get my family situated and bend every cent we had to get to Disney, that I had gone to the Branson Springfield Airport, but it wasn't the Branson Springfield Airport. It was the Branson Airport that had been closed down like 3 years prior to me showing up. And I had no idea. So I said, "Guys, we're going to figure this out." And I call up, and the plane was leaving. Not boarding, but leaving in about 40 minutes, we were not going to make it. They weren't going to take our bags. So I said to my wife, we don't have the funds to get another flight. So we're going to drive. And we hop in the car. And at the time in North Central Arkansas, we had so much rain that I wasn't figuring and thinking about driving through the North Central part of the state. There were floods everywhere. And literally, we drove for 2 hours. And then we got to a place where they said, it's impassable. You cannot get through here. So we turned around. And I was going to go another way. At this point, we're going to make it there like in 20 hours. But I was determined. I was going to be super dead. I've messed up so bad. I've made such a mess out of this that I'm going to drive and we're going to get there. Then they'll fly back and I'll drive back. It's going to work. But then we took another route and that route was closed off. They literally had big hazard signs that said, do not drive Paul. There were problems everywhere. And so I begin to look. At this point, my kids are crying. My wife is looking at me like, this is not going to work. And I mean, like, about us. She was talking about not. But we were having so many complications. And I got to looking. And I decided that I'm going to look and just see. And so I looked at flights. No one was going to Orlando. Anywhere, of course, things we could afford at the time for sure. But I looked at Kansas City, and Kansas City had flights leaving at 6 a.m. that were with another airline where if you breathe, you pay 10 cents. But I thought, I'm going to do whatever I can because we've already got the reservation. We're not getting it back. We have to go. And so I decided to drive to the place we would fly back into the correct Springfield Airport. We rented a car, drove to Kansas City, parked that car, got in the hotel that night, and flew out the next morning, and we finally made it to Orlando. Right now, at this point, quit feeling bad about me or for me and clap your hands because we didn't make it. We didn't make it. But here's what I realized. There were some serious, serious obstacles. There were some obstacles. There were some things we had to overcome. There were some things we had to fight through. There were some things that were unexpected obstacles. There were some things that were some mistakes, some oversights. There were some things that I couldn't overtake on my own. There were some things that were just flooding. I can't do anything about that. I probably could have done something about the airport situation, but I couldn't do anything about the flooding. But the reality is there will always be obstacles. But just tell you right now, you're going to have obstacles in your life. You're going to face things in your life. You're going to go through things in your life. Our young people are going to face obstacles. They're going to deal with obstacles. There's going to be moments where curveballs are thrown. There'll be moments where maybe we make mistakes. There'll be moments where we say, I thought I had it figured out, but something changed, and now it's not there, and I've got an obstacle. And let me just stop and tell you right now, no matter what you're facing, and no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you're dealing with in your life, if you right now are somebody, you could say, I'm facing a mountain or an obstacle. Let me just tell you right now, there is not one ounce of who you are that should think that obstacle can keep you from what God has set up and designed for you in your life. Let me just speak a word of encouragement and get a little ahead of myself for a moment and tell you, in this place, there are people with marriages that have gone through obstacles, but they're still married. In this place are people who have been addicted by things, but yet they got back up and that was an obstacle, but they're still here. And God's made a way where there seems to be no way. In this place, there are people who have gone through personal struggles, and they did not know how they'd get through it, did not know how they'd get above it. That was an obstacle. But somehow they found themselves committing themselves to an altar and saying, the Lord can do a work in my life, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to do everything I can to see what He's called me to be in my life come into fruition. It's going to happen. Somebody just say amen. Amen. So I don't care what the obstacles. We've had people in this place that have not seen their children in years and years, not had any contact. And not long ago, I got a picture of a mother with that child. Let me tell you right now, there may be obstacles. There may be obstacles. There may be obstacles. But you keep praying and you keep believing and you keep going. And I believe that obstacles can be things that do not keep you. We find that very thing this morning that Mary was walking. They were walking together to bring oil and spices to the body of Jesus, and Jesus was dead. He was in a tomb, and they walked, and they began to look at each other, and they pondered because they felt maybe they didn't have the physical strength to roll away a stone. And so we find here that the word was spoken, and that they begin to discuss with each other, okay, well, we've got the things that we need. And you could go ahead and get Mark 16. Just give me a few more scriptures. Let's start at one. But they begin to look, and it says the first day of the week, Mary comes, and they go to the sepulcher, and they go to where his body was lying, and they begin to talk about it, and they come, and they want to anoint him. And verse 2 goes on to say that it was very early in the morning, and they begin to rise. And verse 3, they look at each other and say, who's going to help us roll away the stone? But here's what I want you to get real fast. They look, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was what? They look up and they say the stone is. They notice one very important part of the equation, that what they thought was an obstacle, they now look up and say the stone is, it's rolled away. It's rolled away. The stone is already gone. The stone is rolled away. And they notice something, and they see it, and they say, for it is very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed, the scripture says, in a long white garment, and they were afraid. They were afraid of that. And he said, be not afraid. And he goes on and says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, but it gives us a little understanding that he is risen. He is not here. Behold, this is the place where they laid him, but he's not here. I've come to preach a very simple message to the church today. I've come to preach a very simple message to somebody who just walked in for the first time. I've come to preach a very simple message to our young people that may have faced some things, and you've dealt with some things, and you've gone through some things. Sometimes we get caught up in the obstacle. Sometimes we get caught up in the how. How we're going to roll the stone away to do what we know we were called to do. My family's not living for God. I don't have the funds. I don't have the history. I don't have a future. I don't have this or I don't have that. What you're saying is, who is going to roll the stone away? But what I've come to tell you today is you ought to look again. You ought to look again and know your obstacle is not your future. Your obstacle is not going to define who you are. But if you look again, if you look again, if you look again, if you look again, the stone has already been rolled away. The stone's rolled away. The stone has already been rolled away. Scott, come here just for a moment. You're going to stand in for your family. Come on, yeah. Brother Scott. Scott, just sit right here for a moment. This is a young man that grew up. I say young man, the same age, but I'm thinking about him when he was a young man. He grew up in church in Nashville, Arkansas. He went through some things in his life. God's got his hand on him. What a testimony. He has a great family. They went and they were missionaries overseas. And when 2020 hit, things got crazy and they felt to come back. They came back, and now God's getting them ready to go back, and they're going to go back and be missionaries in Albania. And what they probably are facing is, what about the stone? What about the stone? What about the stone? But I've got good news for you. If you'll look again, the stone's already been rolled away. The stone is already gone. The stone has been rolled away. Come here, Joe. Come here real fast. Joe knows I'm going to probably pull on him. Joe, sit right here for a moment. Joe is a man, and I know he's fine. Joe's gone through some things. Joe's faced some things. Joe is a product of somebody else's testimony. And just so you know, that we have a program here on Thursday nights, and you get to come in, and there's food that's prepared for you, and also you come into this room, and we have incredible leadership that'll lead you through the steps of recovery, and it's inspired by the Word of God, and it can help you, and we believe in and we strongly. I don't care what you face, addiction, heartache, hurt, abandonment, whatever you feel like you're dealing with. On Thursday night, on Thursday night. It's a place you can come and know no obstacle is too big for God. And so Joe's had maybe some questions. What about the stone? What about the stone? But it wasn't long ago when he got in the water of baptism and he realized the stone had already been rolled away. I had to look again. And when I looked again, it was great. It was great. It was great. When I looked again, I realized that God's already made a way where there seemed to be no way. But Joe, you messed up. The stone's been rolled away. But Joe, you got to pass. But the stone's been rolled away. But Joe, what about this and that? I've come to tell you the stone has been rolled away. Sean, come here real fast. Sean, come here. I can't help myself because you look like Miami Vice. Sean, too. I need both Seans because you were next. You didn't know it. Sean, you sit right there. And Sean, Brightwell. I didn't think about that, but it worked out. I was going to say Brightwell. I'm going to mess just for a moment, Sean. Sean's got a prayer request. He's got a need. His mother needs a miracle. Everything's been against his family. When his kids started coming, our dear Lisa found him, began to love him, brought him in, and we didn't know we were going to get the gift to these wonderful people. Y'all forgive me. I'm not meaning to just pick on the men today. I'm just trying to not get in trouble with the ladies today. I'm just trying to be good. Sean, just come right over here. Right here, you know. They've got a few needs up here. He's told me about a few of these needs. Just in case you don't know, there's some prayer needs written on cards. And what we do is this is something we just started not long ago. When all of a sudden things are answered, we get a red marker and you circle it. We don't get rid of it. We leave it up there. Because I watched it on Tuesday night. People were in here for open house prayer and they went and they'd go get a stack of cards. They'd pray over them. They'd come bring them back and they'd get another one. And then they came back and there's another one it gives us a little hope and faith, knowing that he's a prayer answering God when you circle it. So I believe that the Lord's going to continue to work. They've had an uphill climb. They've had things they faced. They've had things they're going through. And Sean said, my mom needs a miracle. She needs a miracle. And here's the thing, that in illness and in sickness, we are being taught more and more to believe and believe and believe that there is an obstacle you can't overcome. I will tell you this. I agree. You cannot overcome it. But I want you to know one thing. The stone of healing, the stone of hope has been rolled away. Has anybody in this place ever experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ? If you felt it and you've experienced it, I want you to look around this room. Those who are sick and those who are struck down and those who had no answer, here you are. And God's done a work. Guys, the stone has been rolled away. Sean, just sit right there if you don't mind. Just right here, then you can sit right there. This is another Sean. I remember the day that this Sean drove in this Ford pickup. We were turning left on 26. This is before W.P. Malone was even here. I believe that's right. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's right. But we were turning left, and my mom looked up, and she said, I think that is Sean. My mom knew Sean when he was a young man, and she was a younger lady. And Sean went through some things. I don't do this to work to pick on Sean. I do this simply to tell you there's some hope today. Sean has testified in this place, and so I know he's okay with me telling this. But at one point, he found more hope in a bottle than he did on anything else. People that know him, that look at him now, think, wait, man, what happened to you? Where did it go? People gave him no hope. They gave him no chance. But I remember watching him as God put his hand upon him. And here's why I'm telling you this. Not only does he have hope, he's one of the great teachers and ministers in this church. And God's got his hand on CR. Let me tell you right now, you can go from an addict or you can go from an alcoholic to telling everybody else it's going to be okay. 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 How does it happen? How does it happen? When I get my eyes off the obstacle and I say the stone, the stone, the stone has been rolled away, I realize that there is a power in a risen Savior. And I realize there's hope beyond anything I could ever have on my own. So no matter if you grew up in church, no matter if you just found it recently, no matter if you've got family that need a miracle, Oh, no matter if you said, you know what, they gave up on me, but look where I am and God's using me now. I've got a word for somebody today. I've got a word for somebody today. Get your eyes off the obstacle and get your eye on the miracle. Get your eye on the possibilities. Get your eyes on what is great, because when they walked up and they saw it was gone, he said, look, he used to lay right here, but he's no longer there. He said unto them, be not afraid. You're seeking Jesus, which, yes, he was crucified. He did die. He's risen. He's risen. You're seeking the old things. I know they were messed up, but I've got news for you. God's touched their life and changed them. You're seeking. I know it seems crazy and it seems so distant as something that could change. It's so distant that you could change your life. It's so distant in your mind that you could possibly see a day where you have hope and peace and joy. But I've come to tell you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Yes, you did have a moment where death was there. But now I've got good news. I've got good news. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He's alive. He's alive and well. Would you stand all over this place today? Thank y'all so very much. Let me ask you today, if you have a need in this house, if you have a need in this house, you've walked in these doors today and you feel weighted down by needs, and you feel also, you feel pushed back by obstacles. You feel as if there's things that are trying to stop you, things trying to hold you back from what you know the Lord wants to do in your life. You feel so tired. You can't hardly get through a story without feeling weary and tired and weeping because of what you're feeling. You cannot get sleep because of the weights of it all. I'm just asking today, and here's the thing, we will not push you or prod you, but I do want to give you an opportunity to make your way today. And here's what we do here. We like to give you a chance to come to the altar. Why do we do that? Because the altar altars where they would take sacrifices. The altars where they would lay things down of the past. The altars where they'd come and commit things to God. We do the same thing here. We come down and we stand. You might feel to come and lift your hands. You might come and just bow your head. Or you might come and say, could somebody please take a moment and pray with me? But I believe with my whole heart, before you come, before you step out of where you are, I know you're thinking about the obstacle, why you can't. I know you're thinking about why it's not going to happen, but I wish you just look again and know today is a day where we declare that he is not in the tomb. He is not there, but behold, he is risen. He's risen. He's risen. Before we take any steps farther, I'm going to ask just a couple of people that you could say, you know what, the Lord has already done a work in my life. Brittany, would you lead us off? Come stand here and face the crowd. Will there be anybody else? Sister Betty, Brother Jared, would you come here and face the crowd? God's going to work in their family. Come on, yeah, come on. Go ahead, I'm going to let that just, if God's already done a work in your life. Teresa, thank you. Go on, stand with Sean. Yeah, Teresa. God's already done a work. God's already beginning to do something. Just a few weeks ago, we baptized this wonderful lady right here in Jesus' name. A few months before that, we baptized that wonderful lady, and God changed their lives. I believe it with my whole heart. Let me just tell you right now, if you feel any struggle, you feel like there's something trying to push you back, I wish you'd realize today is a day where all things are possible. And I'm going to ask you, would you step out from where you are? And we're just going to pray with you. We won't coach you to do anything. We won't push you to do anything. I just want you to come and say, God, I'm not seeing an obstacle now. I see the miracle. I see the miracle. I see the resurrection. I see the hope. I see the life. I see joy. I see peace. I see what you're doing. In Jesus' name, let's bind together right now. In Jesus' name. He won't fail.
He won't fail. He won't fail.